Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined once again today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Our main goals with this podcast are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity in Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel in Mankato. How are you doing today, Pastor?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Today we are going to take a look at a devotion from Judges chapter 17. I think this is an important concept for us to wrap our heads around on this election year. We hear all kinds of different things from the media, from our different elected officials and those who want to be elected officials, all kinds of different people claiming that others are lying and that they're not telling the truth. And as we take a look at Judges chapter 17, I think we're going to get an important reminder about who is really the one who tells us the truth. So we'll start there. We find this verse. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." So if you remember, the book of Judges takes place after the children of Israel had left the land of Egypt, after the 40 years in the wilderness, after Joshua had led them into Canaan, and where they had largely conquered the land, although they hadn't cast out all the peoples that God had called them to cast out of the land of Canaan. And so they ended up dwelling among many of these other nations and ended up falling into the temptation of worshiping their false gods, along with the true God. And this was before the rise of the kings. So if you're thinking chronologically in the books of the Bible, you got the first five, then comes Joshua and Judges, and of course then there's Ruth, and then we get to 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, which details the rise of the prophet Samuel, who would then anoint Saul and David. So we're kind of right in this middle area after they get to Canaan, before they have kings like David and Solomon, etc. And here we see there's no king in Israel, and everyone does what is right in their own eyes. And what we see in the book of Judges is really kind of a cyclical pattern with the children of Israel. They would fall into sin, they would disobey God, they'd worship false idols, and then God would send one of these neighboring nations to come and conquer them and to put them into submission and put them in chains. And this was a tool that God would use to then call them to repentance. So then the children of Israel would repent to the Lord, would turn to him, and he would send a judge. And you can think of some of these judges, Samson, Gideon, Jephthah, etc., all these judges who God would send to throw off the peoples and to bring the children of Israel back into prosperity and into freedom, and they would rejoice and be happy. And sadly, then a generation would pass, and they would once again fall back into sin, fall back into idolatry. And so I think this really applies to us today, where we're hearing all these different so-called truths, all these different so-called lies from all kinds of different political parties. People talk in phrases like "my truth" or "your truth," as if truth is something that is subjective, that we can all decide for ourselves what is true or what is right or what is wrong. But really what God tells us in his word is that he is truth. And that was the problem they had during the time of the judges, is everyone did what was right in their own eyes. They were defining for themselves what was right and wrong. And if you think about that, that kind of traces its beginning all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? They decided for themselves, subjectively, what was right and what was wrong. They didn't listen to God, who objectively told them, this is what is true, this is what is false. Instead, they said, well, we're going to decide for ourselves. And they ate from the tree, and the rest is history. We see the same thing in the judges, and we see the same thing today, where people practice what we call subjective truth, deciding for themselves what is true. Contrast that, what that attitude of the judges, with what Peter writes in his epistle from 1 Peter 1, verses 24 and 25. He says, because, and he's quoting from Isaiah 40 here, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So what endures forever? What is absolute truth? Dear Christian friend, you have absolute truth. God has revealed to you in his word what is right and what is wrong. And this is something we can turn back to, especially when we can get our minds warped and different and twisted by the media and by politicians and by people telling you what their truth is and what they think is what the reality of the situation. We can go back to God's word when we get confused. And after all, God tells us his word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. It is something that God gives us to help us and guide us in this life. And thanks be to God, we have something absolutely sure and certain in his word that we can hold to, because the word of the Lord endures forever. Any additional thoughts to that? Pastor Radical.
Yeah, I really appreciate your thoughts on this. I like the way you started by talking about how everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And I think you and I mentioned a little bit ago in our previous discussions about, you know, a lot of members are venting to us about the frustrations of the politics and everything that's going on in our nation right now, COVID. And everything that you said with the second part from 1 Peter 1 is setting our mind on things above. And the word of the Lord endures forever. So the idea of, you know, one of my favorite things about getting older, normally people say, I don't want to get older, but my favorite thing is that it just gets us one day closer to eternity. That sounds morbid, but it's that mortality of us looking ahead to immortality. And when the Lord reminds us to set our heart and mind on things above, then we recognize that everything that's happening in this world, the Lord's going to use for his own reasons and for his own purpose. And that's why I like the way you set that apart from everyone can do it what's right in their own eyes. We pray for them. That's sad. It's frustrating. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And that confidence that we have in our Savior is so important when we get really frustrated and discouraged about what's going on in this world. I think, like the prophets, let's just keep reminding each other to set our mind on things above, because we will never be disappointed in God's promises with that.
Absolutely. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us objective truth. We thank you for the word, which is our guide in this life, which points out our sinfulness, but also points to our Savior. For this wonderful truth, Lord, we cannot thank you enough. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to set aside our own feelings, our own thoughts, our own ideas when we go to your word. Help us to look to you and you alone for answers, and to remove those subjective ideas from ourselves and look to your thoughts, which are above our thoughts, and your ways, which are above our ways. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, which takes away all of our sins and all those times that we are tempted to worry or be anxious about different things in this world. We can trust in you, O Lord, and we know that your word endures forever. It will endure beyond this nation. It will endure beyond we here listening and speaking today, unless you should come first to bring us to be with yourself. We look forward to that great day, and we pray you continue to be with and bless us as your children in this world. Amen. This brings us to our announcement portion of our podcast today. Once again, this evening, we will continue our Bible study on the book of James. You want to pitch that a little bit, Pastor?
Yeah, we're going into James chapter 4. And as we've been talking about our sanctified life, we obviously see the Apostle Paul was always writing about justification and how our works mean nothing for our righteousness, something we'll be talking about this weekend with Reformation. And then James is really focusing on how works are a part of our faith. So not to get us to heaven, but they're evidence of our faith. So we'll be continuing on in chapter 4 as we explore that more in depth again tonight. Hope you can join us.
All right, looking forward to that. And we also invite you to join us for our weekend Bible class, which is a study on missions. We had been doing that liturgy study. We postponed that while we've been going through a 5-part Mission Festival Outreach series assembled by the Committee on Domestic Fields of the CLC. So we watch a video. It's about 20 to 25 minutes. And then we go ahead and discuss what the video has to say about the work of the ministry and mission work here at Emmanuel. And this past weekend, I thought it was quite good, and the discussion was very good. If you can't join us live for that, please check out on our YouTube website. We post the videos there. And you can also find in the description on those videos all the discussion questions we go through as well for you as well. Regarding the gym continues to plug along as we are replacing the gym floor there. The wood has all been installed. It looks pretty neat in there, and they've been working on the sanding and the staining, which is hopefully all going to take place this weekend, as it's Cal tournament weekend this weekend, so there'll be no school on Friday. They're hoping to get a lot of those chemicals down on the floor while the kids are out of the building, so that would not be a distraction for them, God willing, at that point either. We had a voters meeting that was recessed from the 19th. Once again, happened this past Monday on the 26th. Again, last week, all the elections for council were completed. You can check out our bulletin for information on who was elected to those positions. But we want to thank the outgoing men for all their work. Election to council lasts 3 years, so that's a long time and a lot of work to be putting into the work here at Emmanuel. And we want to thank all those who put that work in, and also thank all those who are volunteering to do that work in the future here. So thank you all for that. The ERC had a presentation on the for the voters meeting on Monday night. You want to kind of recap that for us, Pastor Radical?
Sure. You've seen in bulletins that we've been trying to show the concerns for the current campus the committee has been, and so we continue to try to compile a summary of the concerns that we've heard over the years and try to present that not just to the congregation, but to the voters as well. So there'll be more of that in the next few months, just overall thoughts about what needs to be done or needs to be updated here, and then looking at future campuses and what that could mean as well. So,
all right. Thank you for that. The prayer list for this week, we keep on there Desiree Nauman and Jake Bussey, both of whom are dealing with cancer. My mom, of course, dealing with the brain cancer, and Jacob is dealing with bone cancer. Both of them are going through radiation and chemotherapy treatments, and very intense treatments to try to affect the cancer. So certainly something to keep in your prayers, and not a comfortable thing. My family, once, you know, again, I was out there last week, so it was certainly a blessing to be able to get out there and to see mom and encourage her, and my dad too, and what they're going through. And we'll see what the Lord has in store. This is the last week she has of chemo and radiation. So that radiation will end on Friday, and then the chemo goes through Sunday. So we're very thankful she's coming to the end of that. And God willing, she'll be able to go back to eating food normally and things like that too. And we'll see what the Lord has in store for her in the coming months. But we also continue to give thanks. The Lord has blessed Beth Grieve with healing. She's been at school for a couple weeks now. She seemed to be doing quite well, following her bout with cancer and surgery after that too. So we thank the Lord for that wonderful blessing. Also thank the Lord for giving healing to Pastor Ben Libby's wife and son, both of whom were in the hospital. We prayed for them last week and this past weekend as well. Finally, we'd also like to keep in our prayers. We found out last night that Gerhard Miller, who is a longtime CLC teacher in our sister congregation Fond du Lac, where you served before here, Pastor Radical, and where I grew up there in Fond du Lac too. Actually, Gerhard Miller taught me how to play organ when I was 12 years old or something like that. So
yeah, bust up those skills for us.
Yeah, yeah. Those skills have deteriorated over the years. But Gerhard Miller went to his heavenly home yesterday morning. So we praise the Lord for that wonderful blessing and the many, many years that he was able to be a blessing to his family, to his church there at Luther Memorial. And certainly I want to keep his family in our prayers. Paula Stelter, our member, would be a daughter of Gerhard Miller. So we keep the Stelter family in our prayers and wish them safe travels as they plan for that funeral, which I believe is planned for Saturday at 11 there in Fond du Lac. And I believe it'll be live streamed too if you want to check that out on the Luther Memorial website. Which brings us to our doctrine of the day today. Pastor Radical, would you like to introduce our doctrine today?
We've been going through controversies, and we went through baptism over the last couple of weeks. So as we go down kind of the list here that we're looking at the beginning of life controversies. So when does life begin? That's a very heated topic right now with our nation, with the candidates. And so it basically reminds me of evolution, that whole controversy of when did life begin in the world? When did creation begin? This is talking about life in the womb. So many people today don't believe that life actually begins until the baby is born. And so you see a lot of the laws legislating when abortion can take place. And we see in some states that can happen all the way up till right when the baby is born. And even some states are pushing that even a few minutes after the baby is born. If the baby's a little bit unhealthy and you want to terminate that life, then it's not, if the life is not viable. That's a common phrase that's typically used. So Pastor Naum and I, when we were discussing this, we really want to go back to taking a step away from politics and just say, what does the Bible say about life? So how do we lead into that then?
Well, I think there's a couple of passages that we could go to. You mentioned Psalm 139. We could also go back to, I think, Psalm 51, which is one we mentioned last week at the baptism controversy, in which the Bible clearly talks about how God knits us together, how he forms us in the womb, and how, you know, life is the life in the womb is a separate and distinct thing. And even scientifically, this makes a lot of this, you know, there is no scientific argument against the idea that this life is a different life. In fact, I spent 2 years at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and while I was there, I was reading the student newspaper, and this was back in 2008, so quite some time ago. And in that newspaper article, there was an article that stated that that pro-abortion proponents should stop trying to make a scientific argument because they're going to lose that argument. And they know that they're going to lose that argument. Pro-life is pro-science. And they should stop making that argument. They should start just arguing for the fact that a woman should have the right over her own body and the right to do what she wants in her body. But the problem with that argument is this life is not part of her body. It's a separate and distinct. It has, that baby, from the moment it is conceived, has different and distinct DNA from the body of the woman. This is a different life, and that's what science clearly tells us. We hear a lot about science in the election this year, and science clearly tells us that this baby is a separate and distinct life. And we know that God is the giver of all life, that God, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, that any life that is formed is a gift from God and a gift to be treasured. And for that treasure to be tossed out and thrown away is such a tragedy. And that's boy, really a large consideration for all of us as we look to this election this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely murder. I mean, when you talk about the life that God gives, the Lord makes alive, Lord kills. It reminds me of a story that I heard of a doctor who had a lady who came to him, and she had a 2-year-old son that had special needs and really, really tough on her. And then she found herself to be pregnant. She was quite a ways along. And so the doctor had examined her, and he had asked her and said, well, the baby in your womb is completely healthy. But she's like, well, I can't handle 2 kids, so I need to have an abortion because I have this one really challenging son. And he just simply said to her, why don't you kill your 2-year-old and keep your healthy baby? And she's like, well, I can never do that. He's like, well, why not? You're going to give birth to a healthy child. What's the difference? You're just choosing which child to kill when. Now, I don't know when that actually took place or if it's a true story or not, but that idea is, that story is, those are the kind of decisions that people make when they just decide to end life. And it's God's life that he created. It's that what he brought forth in the womb. You mentioned Psalm 139. I think it's worth reading those few verses there that you highlighted on. 139, 13 through 15. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought or woven in the lowest parts of the earth or the womb. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. In your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And so I think also of Jeremiah or Joshua, where the Lord basically says, I knew you even before you were born. So that idea that the Lord, even before conception, knew who we were, knew our name, and had planned for us to live in this world. It's not right for us to end those lives before the Lord's time.
Yeah. We've talked in this podcast before about the idea of the time of grace. And that's what God gives to us, a time of grace. And that's why the sin against the fifth commandment is so terrible, because the sin against the fifth commandment is ending, you shall not murder, is to end someone's time of grace before the Lord takes that person's life. You know, the Lord uses death. When the Lord decides to take someone home, he will use whatever means necessary, whatever disease. Talk about brain cancer, talk about COVID. These sicknesses, God uses these things to, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, to deliver us from evil, to take us from this sinful world.
I would like to say, if there's anybody out there listening to this that has gone through an abortion, I know I've had a few women come to me in my ministry and just wondering if God could forgive them for that. And absolutely, there is forgiveness. And you just trust in God's mercy, trust in his grace for that little one, and just continue to hear the gospel. Our sins are forgiven. But we don't want to support something that would be contrary to God's word either. So remember God's grace, and then help other people see the light of the word. That's the whole point of us having this conversation, is that you can help other people recognize the value of life before birth and why the Lord has given us that life and blessed us with our own lives. And so it's important that we do speak up for the unborn who can't speak for themselves and continue to promote the sanctity of life that God has given to us, just like you said a moment ago, with that time of grace that God has given to us, and to stand for those that, who can't stand for themselves.
Yeah, that's a really good point that I think we definitely need to highlight very thoroughly, is that yes, abortions are wrong, but there is no sin that Jesus did not die for on the cross. Every sin has been washed away. He's a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. And you know, what an amazing gift that Jesus was willing to die for all these murders in the womb and for every other sin that's ever been committed in the history of man. What a wonder, what a marvel at the love of Jesus, the love of God, that he was willing to go through all of this to take away all our sins. And certainly there is no sin that is too great to remove you from God's grace. There's no sin that God is not willing to forgive by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So really an amazing, amazing testament to the love of God and to what he has done for us through Jesus, and how God sees us as righteous, no matter how terrible our sins may be. And indeed, all of us can admit together that I am the chief of sinners, just as Paul said, recognizing that we have sin, each of us has sin in our own hearts that is worthy of damnation as well. And on that exciting note, want to introduce our special guest today. My wife is taking one of our children to a doctor's appointment, so we have a guest. Eleanor Nauman is here. Eleanor, can you say hi?
Hi.
Hey, Eleanor, who died on the cross to take away your sins?
Jesus
did? Yeah. And what happened after he died?
He went to heaven.
Well, not yet. He went in the tomb, and 3 days later, what happened?
He went to heaven.
Yeah, he rose from the dead, and he went to heaven. That's right. So where does Jesus live now?
In heaven.
In heaven and?
Earth.
Hearts. That's very good. Yep. Thank you, Eleanor.
Nice job.
All right, so Pastor Radical picked out for us a hymn of the day. Just read that for us.
Yeah, I want to read the first two of them, and you can read the last two. So this is about baptism, but I think it's interesting how you can also think of it in how the sanctity of life fits with this as well. This is hymn 753 from the Pan Supplement, Let the Children Come to Me. Let the children come to me, and forbid them not, to such belongs the kingdom. Come to set your children free, let the children come to me. Let the children be reborn, give them life anew by water and the Spirit. Free them from all wrath and scorn. Let the children be reborn.
Let the children be arrayed, those baptized in me, are clothed with my perfection. For this robe I've fully paid. Let the children be arrayed. Bless the children in my name. Water with my word refreshes with forgiveness. Brought to them in spirit flame. Bless the children in my name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. Until next time, may God continue to bless you and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.